Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads podcast for today. We are so blessed to have coming back to continue our conversation, our good friend Tom Donnan. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up, because every time Tom comes on, we are talking about current events that are happening all over the world that usually the news reports are not even talking about, but you need to be aware of. Because Jesus said that when all these things begin to come to pass, and what the inference there is simultaneously, then look up, because your redemption is drawing near. All these things that are coming to pass simultaneously indicates the soon return of Jesus is that close. And we see it happening all over the world right now. But nobody wants to report about it on this from the Christian perspective. And that's what Tom comes on our program to do, just to bring it out, let us know what's happening, so that we can share it with our loved ones and let them know, don't be discouraged. Look up. Jesus' soon return is that much closer. Amen. Now, today we're going to continue our discussion that we started yesterday. I'm going to start off by asking Tom about these tracking apps for this COVID-19, all these contact tracing, and how that can be used for evil. So here's Tom Donnan. We talked a little bit about the technology. Have you seen all this concern over the efforts to go into quote-unquote contact tracing for our protection?
Oh, yeah.
It's always for our protection that they're going to do this.
You know. Yeah, people are going crazy over this. And so the interesting part is that back in 2006, the Lord had showed me what he wants to do to the church. And he wants to give the church his inheritance in his of his presence and a transfer of ownership of the land. And he showed me in a very big fashion that it was going to start in Texas, and it was going to sweep from the Appalachian Mountains west and then up north, and then it goes to the east side of the Rocky Mountains, I think, or let's just say the Rocky Mountains, and upward. So it's like the breadbasket of America, right? The heartland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out, well, why in the world was the Upper East Coast excluded, and why was the West Coast excluded? Well, we know why, is that they're trying to get away from God as desperately as they can.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
As they are, I mean, it's falling apart. And one of the things is that in a godless society or a godless hierarchy, then they lose their covering that the Lord provides for, has been providing for America. And in that, the cloud of heaviness and oppression comes in, which I had a person come in the chat from Washington the other day, and they were just really crying out because the oppression there is so hard and so deep. But it's not until they have a change in their status of relationship with the Lord and he lightens their load that they understand what they were living and existing in. And because of that pressure, they were crying out. And then, of course, that is an opportunity to be able to witness and share for the Lord. So the thing is that God wants to give out this this gift. But at the same time, you got the extremes going with the contact tracing.
Yeah.
In the contact tracing bill that they have that they are trying to push through in California is like the one that we were talking about in China. Whereas if you don't have a good signal or a good, let's say, status on your contact tracing in the future, then that means you can't move about. And that is serious. That is a compromise to our freedoms and our privacies. It's a scary thing.
Yep. Amen. And, you know, I think when we talked about the one in China, they call it like social scorings or something like that.
Yeah.
Remember? Where you had to have, you know, if all of your social media posts were politically correct and all that, you had extra points, which allowed you a little bit more freedom to travel. But if, you know, you're talking about God and, you know, freedoms and all that, your score is really low and they limit everything that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and that this is just one way that, you know, God forbid, but our nation's government, the United States of America, could be following that. I mean, look back, you know, Germany under Hitler. At first, it was like, okay, churches, you tell us who's a member of your church and who's in attendance, and, you know, for the Jews, you know, the synagogues and all that. And
oh, gee, what did they do when the church is reopening? You had to list every person and their address and all that that's in attendance for your church services. Gee, where have we heard that before?
You know? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, what could go wrong? Well, it's for your protection.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just recently had somebody who coined this phrase, is that those that spread fear have control. And when you think about this, you know, the amount of this tracking stuff is so overblown to the amount of the plague that we're going through, the COVID virus, it's a total mismatch.
Yeah.
No, and so why do they want to go in this direction? Because they can control people. And so with this, the thing about the tracking is that I got a little concerned because Illinois is going down this road. And I watched the video. What's happening is that they're juicing the numbers on the deaths.
Yeah.
And I watched them. And what they said is that if somebody is in hospice, which is terminal, they're terminally ill and they're going to die soon, and they happen to test positive for COVID, they're listed as a COVID death. Now, come on.
Yep.
Right? So that's why they want the numbers up. They want the numbers up to be able to push this thing. Now, the thing about the that scares me is that, like, let's say that I go into Walmart and I got this app on my phone. Okay, and at the same time that I'm walking down the aisle, somebody passes me and they have tested positive. And then they go in and they say, oh, no, this guy, Tom Donnan, he passed this person. Now he has to be quarantined. Have you ever been, you know, in given a subpoena?
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, you know that once you get served the subpoena, you are now in the legal system and you can't get out of the legal system until that is concluded one way or another.
Yep.
Well, with this tracking stuff, once you get tagged in it, you're in the system and they are going to track you and they're going to quarantine you and they're going to check up on you until this goes to system, goes through the system. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm not doing this at all. I'll go back to a flip phone first. No, in order to be in the system, because who knows who's juicing the numbers?
Yeah, exactly. Remember the after 2001? They had the no-fly list, and, you know, let's say someone else was named Tom Donnan, and he had traveled to Pakistan, and, you know, you're getting ready to go on to Florida and say, oh, Tom Donnan, nope, you can't fly. You know, what do you mean I can't fly? Because Tom Donnan says he's on the no-fly list. Why? I don't know. Call the government and find out. You're just on the no-fly. You're not flying today. You know,
yeah.
What are you going to do? That's this contact tracing is the same thing. You're going to get a knock at, you know, in the middle of the night on your door. You need to come with us.
Yeah. You know, you've been tested positive. We need to quarantine you. Come on.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, you're taken away from your family and, you know, where have we heard this before?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, it's not, you know, we joke about it, but, you know, this is the day and time. This is lining up exactly like the Bible says it's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. So we know that the end times are coming, right? There's no way around it because the Bible says that it's coming and it is coming. The thing is the timeline, right? Is it going to come sooner or is it going to come later?
Right.
And it depends upon the Christians.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. And right now, the Christians aren't standing up. I mean, you know, especially look at the inner cities. You know, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of, you know, minority African-American churches in the inner cities. And all of these protests are going on. All this violence is happening. And you hear nothing from the pastors. You know, you'd think the pastors would be on the national news calling for, you know, stop all this nonsense and, you know, pray. Nothing. It's not covered at all. All it is, you know, like 4th of July weekend. You know, all these people shot, you know, and they're blaming, you know, the 4th of July weekend on the rise in the COVID-19 reporting. But yet when you say, well, what about all the protests? No. It's all of the, you know, patriotic stuff and all of the freedoms and, you know, people going to the beach. You don't get COVID-19 from protesting. It doesn't show up at a protest. You know, COVID-19 avoids the protests, you know?
Well, now what you're talking about is the double standard. And it's amazing how now the double standard is actually coming out for people to be able to see. You see, there's a division taking place in this country. You know what I was watching this video the other day, and it was about in a retirement community, and it was probably down in Florida somewhere, maybe in Arizona. And they were having a parade for, like, Trump's birthday in support of him, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I'm watching this, there was a group of anti-Trump people there, and they were being abusive, which is kind of, like, interesting because you got, like, 70-something people yelling at other 70-something people just because they're driving in their golf cart supporting the president. And I'm thinking, why do they think that it is okay to be abusive just because you have another point of view? Mm-hmm. And you see that over and over again, where if you are of a persuasion that is not of their liking, they become abusive. And I'm thinking, this has got to stop.
Yep. Yeah, it's all tolerance and, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, as long as you don't go against what we believe.
And that is so sad, because the thing is that we're Americans, and if they can tear us apart, we're going to go down.
Yep, exactly.
Now, and let me – oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so the one about the Chicago, all right, mm-hmm. having
– That's what I was going to bring up, yeah.
Oh, see? I worked in the south side of Chicago most of my career for 44 years or so. The majority of that, vast majority of it, has been working in the south side of Chicago. So I had this route that was called number 4, which everybody has to put their kind of like time in there. And so I was on that area for 2 years, 2 months, 2 weeks too long. All right. That's the way I say it. And so when I first got in there, I had to park my vehicle and walk into an Illinois Bell, which was like a fortress. It was absolutely amazing. But I had to park a block away. And so as I'm walking, I'm hearing gunfire off in the distance. And this young boy is walking to school. He was about maybe 9 or 10. He's walking to school. And I'm thinking to myself, why isn't he running for cover? Okay. And the reason was, is because he knew it was far away. He knew that it wasn't close by, and he didn't have to be concerned. You see the message there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so every day I'm hearing multiple times throughout the day, I'm hearing gunfire. All right. And so, but this last weekend and the 4th of July, this is really even high for Chicago. This is like normally twice as high as they normally have. And it's not necessarily on a holiday weekend. They have this every weekend, day in and day out. There's gunfire. So when I had lost, I had been laid off from one company, and I was picked up by another, and I went downtown Chicago, and I went from working in the south side to the Magnificent Mile, and it was like a culture shock. That's Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. And about 3 weeks into it, I was walking down the street, and I stopped dead in my tracks, which means that people had to now veer to get around me because there are so many people down there, right? And it occurred to me, it's been 3 weeks since I've heard any gunfire. Oh, no. Wow. And so I'm thinking, wow, what is the exact change here? And, of course, it's a different area. So the thing is that it is a common practice for Chicago, which I don't know. It seems as though it's acceptable. I don't, because they don't seem to do anything about it. And they keep on throwing money into programs that don't work. And so we come back to this. It's got to be the changing of the hearts. This is why we need revival. This is why we need to see the sweeping of the Holy Spirit go across the country to be able to draw people in. Because when people are saved, the goodness of God comes into their hearts, and it brings the magnificent change that affects society for the good.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But it's just not Chicago. This is happening in every major metropolitan area.
Yeah. Yeah, that's scary.
You know, I mean, it happens in Baltimore, Seattle. I mean, you get these Antifa guys that go in and say, you know, we're no longer part of the nation. We're taking over these blocks, and we'll be our own police force. Wait a minute. I thought the police were bad. Why are you becoming the police? You know, I
mean, and doing a worse job.
It just doesn't make any sense at all, you know. But, you know, I don't know what the answer is other than Jesus, you know.
Oh, I mean, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what a politician will try, you know, in this environment, 50% of the people are going to hate you no matter what you say.
Yeah.
And, you know, and instead of having a dialogue, it's just turning to violence. Everything is violence.
Yeah.
Which, again, goes back to what the Bible says, will, you know, they'll persecute you for my name's sake. You know,
yeah,
not because anything you're doing, it's my name. Say they're persecuting you because they persecuted me first. You know,
yeah.
And but
well, let's bring. You
know, oh well, I was going to talk to you about the housing market and stuff.
Okay, that's a good idea. Because
this is affecting, you know, the people who, I mean, I from the news reports I've seen, you know, New York City. I mean, that now is the time to go and buy a flat or whatever in New York City, because their housing market is crashing. There's so many people fleeing New York right now that, you know, and their real estate offices are closed. Cool. They're not open up, and they're still fleeing. So as soon, you know, they're going to the suburbs or whatever, but as soon as they're, you know, the mayor and all that allows, you know, things to go back to semi-normal, and these real estate offices open, they're going to be flooded with millions of these apartments and stuff that need to be, you know, the people are just like, I'm done, I'm out of here. And, you know, I mean, if you want to move to Manhattan Island or whatever it's called, this is the time to do it, you know, because.
Whoa. It's a downward spiral. So it affects so many different things. And it's like a vortex that's going down, and it starts sucking this in and it starts sucking that in. And so you have the chaos. And what is the foundation that you want to be on is that a family-friendly foundation. But if it's not family-friendly, even on New York standards, then you have people that are leaving. So the normal rate of leaving in New York had been about 100 a day. And now it is 275 people leaving a day. So when you when you calculate that, that starts to be a big number. Because in a decade, you're going to lose half of your people if that continues. And so it was, I think she was using in that video the reference of Willow, I think, and but I might be wrong. But they were saying that after these, the way that the coronavirus was handled and the way that the protests were handled is that within the website, it shows the number of listings and where they are. And it had increased by 30% that week that the stuff started going bad. Because people were thinking, oh, man, I'm out of here. I've been waiting, seeing if it was going to turn around, but this isn't turning around. So they are starting to work from outside the city. They're starting to go to other areas or leave other states or looking for family-friendly environments or safer territories. Amen. And that is the direct after effect from having lawlessness.
Yep. Amen. And, you know, these cities that are now, you know, destroyed because of the protests, and you know, they're losing their base, you know, the people who are working there, paying taxes there, they're losing that income, and the demand is, you know, give us more. Well, how are they going to get that income if 30% of their population decides to leave? And the expenses are going up 30%, and the revenue is dropping 30. That's a 60% difference, right?
Yeah.
There's only one way of doing it. Those who stay behind pay more in taxes.
Well, yeah, because typically they don't want to cut services, because then that's why they were re-elected. You know, I'm watching this on my own home turf here, what's happening, and on the mayor of Chicago, when Walmart said, oh, listen, we're seriously thinking of pulling out. And then a couple other corporations did the same thing. She started panicking because she didn't foresee this happening. But when you got streets, businesses on Michigan Avenue that have been vandalized and broken into, and now they're thinking, wait a minute, you're not taking care of us. We're out of here. And so then all of a sudden, the realization of what the cost was about to be was more than letting the rioters have their freedom. And now it's starting to spiral out of control, which is serious concerns, because like in Seattle, remember one of the segments was that we watched or we had a video from Channel 4 News in Seattle where it said Seattle is dying. Well, that was like last year. Well, gee, now they got businesses, multi-billion dollar businesses pulling out of Seattle. And people are leaving the Seattle proper. Here's an interesting thing. People like living in Seattle because it is so beautiful there. But I've never been in that area, so I don't know. I would like to go and visit it sometime. But the thing is that people are now that they've been working from home are leaving the downtown Seattle area and going across the lake, they say, to another area to be able to live because it's more family-friendly, safer over there. And because of the coronavirus, they're realizing that they can still work at home and still produce and still have a job, and they don't need to go into downtown or city area. And so they're leaving. They're leaving Seattle, and now the businesses are leaving Seattle because it is a dying area. And the police force, the people in the police force are leaving.
Yep. Yep.
So what's the sense of arresting drug users or people who are violent in the street to put them into the process and then have them released the same day to do the same thing? Now, this is like insanity.
Yep. Just give us a promise that you'll come to court whenever we call you. Yeah, sure. You know? No problem.
Yeah.
<know? laughs>
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, then they released all these prisoners because of COVID-19, right? Now, wait a minute. Yeah. You can isolate them in prison and protect them.
Yeah.
Still provide their three meals a day, give them a place to sleep. No. Just go. Just go. Promise you come back when we call you. You know, just go. And well, where are they going to eat? Where are they going to sleep? How are they going to survive? Yeah. Oh, gee, my training and background is in armed robbery. Go figure.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, well, in San Francisco, car break-ins were off the chart. You know, it was like 5,000 break-ins in cars in a year's time because of the fact that people need to be able to have that money to be able to bring stuff to the pawn shops or sell it or whatever to be able to take care of their habits. And so, therefore, the thing about the prisoners being released is that, you know, they are going to create chaos, and chaos is needed for more control. You know, if there's more chaos, then they can say, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And people will say, OK, just get rid of the chaos. But the things that they are implementing are terrible. And so they're utilizing this for the fact. But I'll tell you what, I don't think it's going to work.
Well, we know it won't because the Bible says it won't. You know, it's just going to continue to snowball until finally the society will collapse upon itself and it's just total chaos. And the only answer will be Jesus when he returns. Praise the Lord. Tom, we are about out of time for today's segment. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Email address, healingthenation1776@gmail.com. And they can reach me that way.
Amen. Amen. I got some more questions for you. Will you come back on for another segment here in a little bit?
I certainly will, because we can get to part two. Can you believe it? We didn't even get to part two.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Glory to God. Every time Tom comes on, you never know where this conversation is going to go. I mean, we just have a great time. We've got good back and forth. But we're talking about everything that is relevant to what you see happening on television, in the news, right now. And it's all relating to biblical prophecy. You need to get into your Bible and read it for yourself. And, you know, Jesus is the only answer. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, you can say, well, if you elect this person or that person, it'll make a difference. Jesus is the only one who can make a difference. And he's outside of the political system. Okay? He has a way of providing for you, taking care of you, and saving you from everything that is happening right now. And, you know, they said, don't be afraid of who can kill the body and nothing else. You need to be afraid of the one who can kill body and soul. And that's the one you need to be afraid of, right? But not a fear of, oh, God, I'm so scared, but more of, Lord, you're the only one I'm going to put my trust in. Don, if someone wants to make that commitment right now, will you pray them in?
Oh, you know, I like to do this because having a soul come into heaven is that the angels rejoice. So let's get some rejoicing going.
Amen. We need it.
Yeah. So, dear Father God, pray this prayer with me. Dear Father God.
Dear Father God.
I want to thank you for your son.
I want to thank you for your son.
Jesus and the work he did on the cross.
Jesus and the work he did on the cross.
By shedding his blood.
By shedding his blood.
He paid the price for all of mankind's sin.
He paid the price for all of mankind's sin.
I want to tell you, Father.
I want to tell you, Father.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I am sorry for the pain.
Lord, I am so sorry for the pain.
My sins have caused Jesus and you.
That my sins have caused Jesus and you.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
Now I invite you.
Now I invite you
to come into my heart and life.
Come into my heart and my life.
And I want to live for you.
And I want to live for you.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Folks, if you prayed that prayer, email me at brotherbob at ftfm.org. Email Tom. His email contact information is down below. Tom, thank you for coming back on the program, man. It's been good.
Whoa, thank you.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Tom Donnan and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.